Thank you, Joanne and Paul, men's quartet, band. We are really blessed with great music here, aren't we? So glad you've joined us today for the celebration of Joanne's 20th and Malcolm's, Pastor Malcolm's, 10th year of ministry here at Grace Church. Now, some Christians shrink back from celebration and affirmation and commendation of individuals, and they don't do it in the name of claiming that, well, what's important is that we give glory to God only, or especially, or not give glory and honor to people. But such a philosophy is quite misguided. The Word of God strongly encourages commendation and affirmation and praise and honor when it's due. We're not talking about empty flattery or vain aggrandizement, but sincere and genuine and encouraging affirmation. Now, if you happen to be one of those people that don't need that, that's fine. Good for you. But the rest of us need it. If one of the highest goals of God's people is hearing God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," then something that must be pretty close to that is hearing the people of God say to the servants of God, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There are two key biblical motivations for the affirmation of God's people. The first one is because it's our duty. And that's a perfectly legitimate reason to affirm God's people. And we'll consider this briefly from Romans chapter 13, verse 7. The other motivation is because it's a privilege. And for this, we'll pause briefly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Romans 13, 7 says, "Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." Now, this verse, as you probably know, is in the context of governing officials. It's in the context of the government that is over us in whatever society you happen to be. The idea that the government is our servant and that they devote time and energy to serving us. Now, if you tend to wax cynical when you hear the words government and servant in the same breath, then let me just remind you that just as no individual is perfect, no government is perfect either, because governments are made up of flawed people, people like you and people like me. I should also add that just as there are no perfect individuals, there are no perfect churches either, because churches are made up of flawed individuals, people like you, people like me. In fact, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, okay? Now, keep this to yourself, okay? All right? As long as you and I are here at Grace Church will not be perfect. Does that shock you? In fact, it's you and I that keep Grace Church from being perfect. And again, as long as we're here, Grace Church will have flaws, and there will be things that we can improve on, and things that we could do better than what we are. And you know something? When you and I are gone, other flawed people will move in and take our place. Now, I hope that doesn't discourage you. It's just the way it is. All of us are flawed. All of us are sinners, and no church can ever be perfect if it's comprised of sinful and flawed people. So let's just get that out of the way. The point is that just as the government is to be our servant, we are to honor those who serve us well. Not because they're perfect, but because they serve us well. Notice that there's a command. Give everyone what you owe him. And in the context of today, we honor those who serve us because it is our duty to honor those who serve us. And just think about it. If it's required that we honor government officials for their work, then how much more are we obligated to honor the people of God who serve us as unto the Lord? But as important as duty is, and duty is very important, and it tends to be undermined more than it should be in the modern world, as important as duty is, there's another motivation that may seem to some more noble than duty, and that would be the motivation of privilege. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verses 12 to 13 says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work." Notice Paul says, "Now we ask you to respect those who work hard among you." Not so much a command like it was back in Romans 13, but here it's more of an appeal to the people of God to do what's right. So we're to respect those who work hard among us. We're to give them honor, commendation, affirmation. Not just honor. Notice it says, hold them in the highest regard. Now, why do we do that? Two main reasons. The first one given is out of love. Not because we're commanded to, though we are commanded to, but because we love those who serve us in the Lord. Now, someone might argue, yeah, but they're paid to serve. And I would respond to that with, serving and being paid are not mutually exclusive. Let me give you some examples. If the police force protects you, do you say, yeah, but they're paid? If the army defends your country against her enemies, do you respond with, yeah, but they're paid? Or if your doctor assists you in enjoying good health, do you say, yeah, but they're paid? As if it kind of negates service. I hope you don't think like that. I hope you would never say something like that. Because the fact is, service is service. And unless someone is independently wealthy, most servants who devote an inordinate amount of time to serving probably will require some level of remuneration for their service. Lastly, notice that it says that we are to respect and honor those who serve us in the Lord because of their work. Now, I would hope there are a lot of reasons we can honor those who serve us. Lots of reasons, but at least because of the work that they do. This is an appeal to give respect and honor to those who serve us, at least because of the work that they do. You see, we all benefit from Malcolm's work. And we all benefit from Joanne's work. So for this reason alone, and there are many, many more, then they are worthy of honor and respect and affirmation and praise. So we have a wonderful opportunity today to be dutiful in giving honor to whom honor is due, and to exercise the privilege we have of giving respect and affirmation to those who serve us in the Lord. Whether it's more noble to do it out of duty or more noble to do it out of privilege, I'm not sure it matters. Maybe that's why Paul gives us both reasons. But we're to honor those who serve us. We're to give honor to whom honor is due. It's a direct command out of God's word. Give honor to whom honor is due. And we're to respect those who work hard among us. We're to hold them in highest regard in love because of their work. So for the next few minutes, I would like to invite you to give honor to whom honor is due and respect those who work hard among us, to hold them in highest regard because of their work. But before I do, I want to provide a little background on these servants that we honor today. And I want to start with Joanne, because I've always been a firm believer in ladies first. And she has a 10-year start on Pastor Malcolm. So we'll get to Malcolm in a moment. But Joanne Valentin came into the world on September 23rd, 1958. So those of you who are really, really astute are thinking, today's September 23rd. That would make it Joanne's birthday. Happy birthday. And it gets better. It's Joanne's mother's birthday, too. Paul. I turned my microphone off just for your your benefit while we were singing. So, today's Joanne's birthday, and today is her mother Angelica's birthday, too. Now, Joanne was born in Ottawa. I know what you're thinking. Ottawa, Canada. But it wasn't Ottawa, Canada. Oh. Wow. We have some fans of Ottawa. Anyway, it was actually Ottawa, Kansas, where her father, John, was attending Ottawa University. She was the first of three girls born to John and Angelica, who are both here today. It's good to have you here. Sisters Rebecca and Karen were born not long after Joanne. Now, 1958 was a busy year, the year Joanne was born. NASA was formed that year, and U.S. passenger jet flights began that year. If you can believe that. Just in 1958, they began with National Airlines and the Boeing 707. Elvis Presley was inducted into the Army, and My Fair Lady opened on Broadway. Candid Camera, The Ed Sullivan Show, and Alfred Hitchcock Presents were popular television shows in 1958. I remember them. Some of you won't. And after 26 years without an increase, the price of a first-class postage stamp went up to 4 cents. 26 years without an increase. The average cost of a new home was $12,750, and the average monthly rent was $92. Annual wages averaged $4,600, and an entire year's tuition at Harvard was $1,250. I did some checking. It's $1,250 a minute now. Joanne grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and spent most of her childhood years in Park Slope and Flatbush, graduating from Samuel Tilden High School, then on to the Conservatory of the Arts at Brooklyn College, where she received her Bachelor of Arts and Master of Arts in piano performance. She was blessed with growing up in a Christian home, and rededicated her life to the Lord in 1980 after attending an evangelical church in Staten Island. Joanne has been part of church life ever since, ministering through music in a variety of ways. In fact, music has been a central part of Joanne's life since childhood. Her favorite childhood activities included playing the piano and listening to music. Her favorite high school activity was making music. And her favorite college activity, you guessed it, making music. Grace Church is so glad that music has been a big part of Joanne's life, because through her, it's been a big part of our life as well. Joanne began her time on the staff of Grace Church back on September 27th, 1992. She started out as church musician, but over the years has had her role evolve into greater levels of responsibility. She served as director of music ministries for many years, which not only includes her own performance, but the developing of others with musical gifts that can be used to praise God. On October 4th, 1986, Joanne married Paul Schubert at Calvary Baptist Church in New York City. Of course, we're happy about this for many reasons, not least of which is that we got Paul along with Joanne at no extra charge. And that's one of the great deals of history, let me tell you that. Paul and Joanne bring not only an extraordinary amount of talent to Grace Church, as you know, as musicians, but they love worshiping God through music and helping others do the same. We're extremely grateful for their using of their gifts. We were also blessed as a church family, those of you who were around in those days, when Angelica and Maya were added to the Schubert family back in 1996 and the year 2000. The girls share their parents' love of music. So thank you, Joanne, for 20 years of faithfully using your gifts, and talents, and abilities, your servant's heart toward Grace Church, worshiping with us, helping us to worship better, and for giving of yourself in so many ways. We're deeply, deeply grateful to you. Let's give her a hand. Malcolm Light began his journey of life back on March 9, 1974, in Knoxville, Tennessee. Malcolm was the first of two children born to Bud and Pat Light. Yes, I said Bud Light. Malcolm will tell you I'm not making it up. With Malcolm's sister Shannon arriving in 1979. In 1974, the 55-mile-per-hour speed limit, as you may remember, was imposed by Richard Nixon, President Richard Nixon. And Richard Nixon was also forced to resign as President of the United States later that same year. We're not absolutely sure there's a connection between those two things. There may be. ABC airs its final episode of Love American Style, while the show Happy Days begins its 11-year run on television. Patricia Hearst was kidnapped. Cher files for separation from Sonny Bono. And Dorothy Hamill was the U.S. female figure skating champion of the U.S. I said U.S. The Rubik's Cube was invented, which drove a lot of people crazy for a few years. And Hank Aaron breaks Babe Ruth's all-time home run record in that year. Okay. And I should add that the Miami Dolphins beat the Minnesota Vikings in Super Bowl VIII. That's especially meaningful to Malcolm. In fact, that's the most important thing for that year. Anyway, though Malcolm was born in Tennessee, his family moved to Miami when he was 5 years old. He lived in Miami until he headed north for college, leaving a mere 6 days after Hurricane Andrew visited South Florida. Malcolm graduated from Miami Palmetto High School and earned his Bachelor of Arts in Contemporary Ministries and Business from Roberts Wesleyan College. He graduated with a Master of Divinity degree from Talbot School of Theology in California. Malcolm's mother began attending church after his father abandoned the family when he was 14, and Malcolm began to attend church with her. And through a series of events, he came to trust Christ as his Savior, and he had the great fortune of being discipled by youth pastors all through high school. It has been reported that one of Malcolm's favorite activities in college was being pulled through the snow behind cars while sitting on cafeteria trays. So far, we've been unable to confirm this. But we do have a report from a reliable source. Anyway, Malcolm used to enjoy baseball and softball, but since his rotator cuff surgery, he's pretty much limited to photographs and memories. He also has a passion for things techno-geeky, but you probably already knew that. Actually, we're very glad that's the case. Malcolm married Cindy on November 27, 1998, in Dinuba, California. Both Malcolm and Cindy have been blessed with musical talents themselves and enjoy singing praises to God with his people. The Light family has expanded since 1998 with the additions of Benjamin in 2000, Josiah, okay, she's really tracking with me there, Josiah in 2003, Corbin in 2008, who has since gone on to be with the Lord, and Simone, who was born in 2009. Malcolm loves teaching the Word of God and sharing in the lives of people. His ministry versatility provides a variety of opportunities to serve and opportunities for many to benefit from that service. Malcolm came to the Grace Church pastoral staff on October 1st, 2002, and we're so glad he's here. Thank you, Malcolm, for 10 years. Thank you for using your spiritual gifts to minister to the body of Christ in so many different ways. We're very, very grateful. And you've already done the applause, so we don't need to do the applause. What I'd like to do now is open it up to the congregation, give you an opportunity to share personal affirmations. These are things that are ways that Malcolm and Joanne have touched your life, maybe on a very personal level, or maybe just in terms of their church ministry in your life. Memories, funny stories, keep them brief so more people can share. But I want to open it up to you, and we have microphones, and we'll just take a few minutes, and, you know, no particular order. Joanne, Malcolm, two Joannes, one Malcolm, it doesn't matter. But just raise your hand, and an usher will get a microphone to you, and I'm going to sit down and enjoy it. Okay? So, feel free to share. Affirmations for our servants.
Going to look at Joanne, because when I shared at her 10-year, I did cry, so I'm just going to kind of look out this way. Joanne knows how much I love her as a sister in faith and a sister of my heart, and one of the things that I so appreciate about Joanne as music director and choir director is, as a professional, you know, she strives for perfection, and she wants it to, you know, the sound to be as good as possible, but the most important thing is she wants to glorify the Lord in all that she does through music, and I really, really appreciate that, and I just want to just tell her again how much I love her.
I talk fast. Okay. Talking about music, I know there are many, many ministries in this church, but I'm part of, like, the most fun one. I mean, being part of the worship team is, like, one of the highlights of my just belonging to this family at Grace. And she has given us, those of us who are on the worship team, and we joke because as we get older and older, we figure, you know, at what point do we phase ourselves out? But I'm available till I die, you know, kind of thing. But it's just such an honor and a privilege to serve with her on the worship team. It's really like one of the great joys of my life. Thank you.
And just to make it easy, I'll just take it. You know, Joanne and Malcolm, you're both special, but what I've been thinking about really is cake. And I think it's really great that through your hard work and God blessing you and directing you and leading you, we show our appreciation by getting you the cake. But the interesting thing about it is you've served, we've been faithful, we got the cake, but you don't get to eat all of the cake. Matter of fact, you're going to eat a minuscule amount of the cake. Guess who's going to eat the rest? Us. And I think that that's the great blessing about service, that God's been good to you, good to us. He gave you this humongous cake, but he gave you the cake really to bless us. So really, this morning, you know, I was thinking of it and I was saying, basically the cake is yours. Should you like really just sit and say, okay guys, my cake, my service, my blessing, I'm going to eat this cake. You'll get sick. And right now, Laura needs no one to take care of. So I think that it's just great thinking of what Pastor Sam was saying about service and how through you we are blessed. I think that this morning it's just great that through you we are going to be blessed with cake. Thank you.
While the main theme here seems to be music, I'd just like to say Malcolm has a great voice, but I would love, and I think I speak for the whole church, I would love to hear Cindy sing another solo one of these days very soon. She has one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard.
Up here in the balcony, we have Deb who wants to share something.
There's a lot to say about Joanne and Malcolm. I will try really hard to keep it brief. Joanne and I got to be friends through infertility issues a long time ago, and it, you know, it's one of those hardships that kind of bind you together. And one thing I want to point out about Joanne and Paul is I don't think we appreciate that Joanne and Paul are always on call for church, for all the evening services, the holidays. They never have a break. And like the cake analogy is that we come in and we get to enjoy the labor that they provide on and on behind the scenes. And I just think that's something that we probably don't appreciate a whole lot because we don't do it ourselves. And with Malcolm, it's I get to ride on your techie support and your computer savvy. When I was in MOPS and had different very basic little paltry ideas on how to put videos together, Malcolm just did his magic touch and made it look very professional and just added so much more to it. So thank you for that.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
I'd just like to say, I've only been here a year and a half, but I'll tell you what, I've never been to a church that was more together, and Pastor Malcolm is a wonderful part of it. I enjoy his sermons tremendously, as well as the whole pastoral team, and I thank you for him. And as far as Joanne goes, the music program is fantastic in this church. I've never felt something in my heart the way I do when the music is played every Sunday and I get to sing. I've never encountered that before. I've been a part of a music program as a choir member, but never this kind of program, and it's wonderful. That was great up there this morning, by the way, Paul. You and the boys, that was great. Thank you.
I know I'm not exactly objective, but so I won't talk about my wife. Malcolm, I've been in your... Where is he anyway? Oh, there he is. I've been in his Sunday school class more than once, and I tend to think, oh, I know this part of Scripture. And then I hang out with Malcolm for a half an hour, and it's like, wow. He just has such an incredible depth of the knowledge of the Word of God, and it's great. I love you as a teacher, and I think you're a really cool guy, too. and I'm really glad you're here. And as an Apple user all my life in the world of IBM, I am particularly grateful that you're an Apple geek. So, and I won't go on about my wife, only to say that I see all the stuff you guys don't see, you know, that she brings home. And being in ministry is such a mixed bag. I mean, it's an incredible, wonderful opportunity, and it's also really hard sometimes. And I watched the way Joanne over the past 20 years has dealt with really the hard things and the issues and the communication problems and the all sorts of stuff that's gone on. And she is such a woman of integrity. You have no idea how much she brings everything to God in prayer and how sensitive she is and what a diplomat she is and how full of grace she is in everything. It's an inspiration to me. I know you guys appreciate what I do, but I'm telling you, if I was in charge of the music ministry in this church, 20 years, 19 years ago, you would have, like, let me go. So she's a real inspiration to me, and of course, I love her with all my heart. And happy birthday, baby.
I'll try to keep this kind of short. So, I'm Brian. A lot of years ago, I went to a different church, and to be honest, I kind of walked away from the Lord for a long time. A lot of it I kind of blamed on the music. I just couldn't get into it. Told my parents I didn't want to. It's hard, I'm sorry. I didn't want to be part of it. Just kind of walked away about 13 years old. So, met my wife. She's a Christian. A few years we were dating and that kind of thing, and I just didn't want to go to church. So she went by herself with her brother, and I just kind of let her do that for a long time. And one day I decided, you know what, I can do it. And she goes out to breakfast with her brother. I'm missing out on all the fun every Sunday for a couple hours. So I'll just go to church, and I'll do it for the food. I can man up and do it. So I came to church, and the first time, I was like, I'm done with this. I just can't do it. So a couple months later, I came back, and of all things, it was the music that really kind of kept me coming. It helped me settle down and kind of forget about the stuff that I brought with me when I walked in the door. And I just want to thank you, Joanne, for the work that you do. Really, really helped me to become part of the family here. And then, later, Malcolm, also a big part of my life. Really thankful for the men's group that you put together. We spent a lot of time studying the Word together. It's got me a lot more involved in ministry here and a lot more involved in reading the Word, too. So thank you, guys.
I just want to add a little different piece for Joanne. I work with Paul. I've worked with him for a number of years in the public school system. That's a blessing, too. But years ago, when our family first came to Grace to visit over in the old building, there are so many of you who are so friendly and welcoming, but I don't think Joanne knew that I was the lady that worked with Paul in the elementary school, but she immediately came to me in the fellowship hall and introduced herself and welcomed me. So beyond everything that she does to help us worship, she was just so genuine and so welcoming on a busy Sunday morning. Now that I see her, I can't imagine how busy she is, but it just made me feel like, wow, I'm really welcome here. And then many, many people did that as well, but that just really always stuck with me, with Joanne. And also with Malcolm. A number of years ago, I was involved in a ministry here and was very blessed through that ministry, but as my mother became ill and I needed to care for her, Malcolm was just so encouraging and just in a moment said to me, reminded me to honor my mother, and was so supportive as I gave up my role in that ministry, knowing, just had such a peace that while I didn't want to see something be lost here at Grace, that God was in control and that I needed to take care of my mother. So thank you both.
I salute both of you this morning. Joanne came at a time when I was had been encouraged to get musical people together to sing and a choir, and Joanne came alongside and made it possible for me to relinquish that task to her at that time, and it was a joy to my heart. I wanted to move on to other ministry, and to be able to relinquish that to someone who had, in my estimation, wonderful musical integrity, and she added, beyond what I ever could have done, a dimension that has really blessed this congregation, honestly, so I mean, more fully. So I thank you, Joanne, for that. And Malcolm stretched my understanding of technology as well. He's the one and only person who ever faced me on my computer screen and said, talk to me. We were, I don't know what that's called. Skype, is that Skype? Whatever. I don't know. But it blew my mind. we were working through a project, and it was just easy for him to look at me on the screen and for me to look at him and talk to him in two different places. Blew me away. But beyond that, I have come to love Malcolm's ministry here. He has been very transparent, I believe. He has shared his life through the very hard times of his life and his family's life, and that's been a blessing in a way that has encouraged my heart. His preaching and his ministry of the Word is also full of integrity and devotion to God's Word, making it real to us. And his tireless efforts. I'll write a certain amount of that off to the fact that he's half my age. But beyond that, he is always available, and I thank God for that in great measure.
Since we have the microphone over here, and I'm standing behind Malcolm. Malcolm, I thank God for you in so many ways, but computerized especially, being a part of the prayer chain and having to work a new thing. You know, as a woman, I hate to say, call him up and say, I'm feeling stupid again, Malcolm. I can't open this thing. And he is so gracious and say, that's okay, that's not stupid. I'll work with you, you know, and he's so patient and so understanding. I'm sure he's that way at home too, but... And then he is so, he's always so available, even though he hovers and keeps his time with his family, but he never makes you feel like you can't, in a time of need, call him or pop into his office. He is so approachable. We are so blessed with three pastors that are approachable. But since we're honoring Malcolm today, I'm here to tell you that no matter, I'm a touchy person, it's okay. No matter what is on your heart, you can come to Pastor Malcolm and you can bore your soul, and he is there, and God equips him with the right scripture, the right open heart and mind, and you can walk away just being lifted immediately. And I'm so thankful for you. In that respect, I praise God for you and your family. And Joanne, what can we say? You know, we can walk in here with a million things on our minds, and the music, Wes on the drums, Dave on the guitar, and Paul on the piano, and then the worship team, and you. We are blessed every Sunday with a level of worship that I have never, ever encountered in my entire life. And I don't ever want this church body to take that for granted. Because when you are missed that one Sunday out of a whole year, I'm glad Clayton's not here because he does do a good job, but not in the way that Joanne and Paul and the worship team. So thank you so much for pouring yourself in allowing God to use your gifts beyond the beyond.
Hi, Malcolm. This is Mary up in the balcony. I know I had to jump in because I can't see you. You probably can't see me. I met Pastor Malcolm about five-ish years ago when this building was new, and I showed up and realized you were having a divorce care workshop. And unfortunately, I was in the middle of that process, and it was pretty much ripping me apart. And I decided to be brave and show up for that that ministry. And there was Pastor Malcolm, and that's where I developed a relationship with him. And even though that was DVD-driven and most of the work, you know, we watched it on the DVD, Pastor Malcolm was there to show me how, even though I had gone through this process and maybe made very bad choices in my life, that through the Scripture and the Word, that my life could be put back together and I could be made whole and that I could become that shiny new pot, that I was a clay in the potter's hand. And that was clearly instrumental in my life, in my still continuing in this life and being here at this point. And it's because of his kindness, his lack of condemnation, the scriptures and the word and praying with me, praying for me, and everything that the people in that group led by Pastor Malcolm did for me during that time, that I am still here walking and living and breathing and jumping for joy, praising the Lord. And if he did that for me, I am making a good educated guess from what I'm hearing that he does that for many people in this body. And it was really wonderful to learn that I wasn't condemned and that people didn't look at me sideways and that I wasn't shunned over in the corner because of choices I made in my life. And I'm actually delighted to get to be here to say thank you to him for that.
Hi, I just want to direct a few comments over to Pastor Malcolm. I want to thank you, Malcolm, so much for all you've done for my family this past year. Actually, it was a year and a half. You were so supportive. You were there with us. You were just someone we could always depend on. And I just want to thank you so much.
Hi, I just want to say to Joanne, thank you so much for asking me years ago to be on the worship team. Music is one of my passions. And the worship team has been incredible for me as far as bringing me a lot of joy. Everything Marcia said is true. It's also humbled me and helped me to grow spiritually. And as far as Pastor Malcolm goes, he's the only pastor I've ever seen who did a somersault on stage in the middle of his message. Thanks, Malcolm, for showing us that you're real and human and wonderful.
I'm Ruth. I have to thank Malcolm for getting me back to church and active. When I first came to Grace at the old building, I sat in the last row, or pretty much to the back. I attended and I walked out, and that's the way I wanted it. And then Malcolm and I worked on Alpha, and then he encouraged me to work at Golden Hill, and now I'm on the prayer chain. And Joanne, I needed hymns and I needed the worship music both. So it's a perfect blend for me here.
Just a A quick thanks to Paul and Joanne. When we sang the quartet this morning, Paul was the fourth. Some of you didn't realize that. And thanks, Paul, for filling in there and doing the great job. Joanne, we just appreciate your music so much. And I just wanted to say thanks to Malcolm, too, in the same vein. Ray, our quartet member, was unable to sing because he has an eye problem. And Malcolm says, I'll sing with you. So Malcolm is a willing guy. Many of you people don't realize all he does. He'll set the chairs if they need to be chaired. That's probably why his shoulder went out. But thanks, Malcolm. Thanks, Joanne. We appreciate you guys all.
Bernie, you have the honor of being last, okay?
All right. Go ahead. I'll make this short and sweet. Joanne, I just want to thank you for the gift of music, the vision you have for music. And like everybody's been sharing, we definitely reap the benefits. And, of course, a plug for Brooklyn. I'm thankful that we both have that history. We share that. And also for keeping me fresh with my Spanish that I refuse to speak at times. You keep that fresh, and that's great. And then I want to thank Pastor Malcolm for being there. There were a few times, definitely, that we've called upon you for some guidance and for some wisdom with extended family members. Just came back to me today as I was thinking upon it, and you gave us good wisdom and counsel, and it all worked out, thankfully. And also, the other thing I want to say is that among all the memories, as of yet, the one memory that stands out the most is the way you and Cindy walked through that valley of death with Corbin. It was incredible. It was just so moving to watch you allow God walk you through the pain and the grief and the mourning, and to see you the very next Sunday back here sitting in the pew and surrounded by family and just loving on you, especially Malcolm. Just, I saw the way you were just supporting Cindy and really protecting her and guarding her for that moment. It just spoke volume to me. It was incredibly moving, and I could see that only God could definitely do that, and it was encouraging to show us as church family how to walk through adversity and to receive yet good, but also, you know, the not so good from God, and still call him your Lord and Savior and still stay so committed to him. And I just want to thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that with us and allowing us to see you walk through that so transparently. And once again, thank you for being our pastor, and thank you for being our music worship director. Thank you.
I want to thank all of you for sharing, and to not everybody is comfortable speaking in public, so there are cards, there are notes, there are words of affirmation. Those are all, of course, welcome. There are a lot of things I appreciate about Joanne and Pastor Malcolm, but let me narrow it down to one each. Not only is Joanne so committed to excellence in her music, and we all know that, and that's been voiced, but her commitment to helping others who aren't as talented as she is to maximize their musical gifts as well. And I've seen it over and over again, how she takes people that are kind of just average musically and really just draws it all out of them. And again, we're the beneficiaries of it. Malcolm is, he's so versatile. He's got so many gifts, so many abilities. You can give him anything. And he not only does it, but he does it cheerfully, and he does it well. And as a senior pastor, that's a great gift. It just doesn't matter what area it's in. He's willing to do it, and that's a great, great gift to the body. I think Paul said it best when he talked about how ministry is an incredible blessing. Vocational ministry is an indescribably wonderful blessing. But sometimes it's hard. It's hard a lot of the time. And, you know, we love you guys tremendously. But every now and then, we need to get away from you for a break. So, we're going to send these lovely people away for a little while. For Joanne and the Schuberts, a night at their favorite bed and breakfast upstate New York. And then for the lights, an opportunity to go to a place of fun with the family at Great Escape? Great Escape. So that's our gift to them. So they'll have a great time, I know. I missed something. Oh, was it the pun, Great Escape? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I see Ben's really been tracking with us pretty much the whole pretty much the whole time. So this is our gift to them as a church. So enjoy. So I would call them both up, but Joanne seems to be preoccupied at the moment. So we have these for them. And again, join us for cake and coffee. Their cake, but they're letting us eat it, as Walter said. And we're going to stand and sing "To God Be the Glory," hymn number whatever. Stand up.